What does it mean to be truly human? Have you ever asked that question? Maybe you've thought about it in a more personal way. What am I here for? You may not know the answer to that question, but if you're anything like me, you'll have a sense that you're not all that you could be, and you're probably not where you should be. Bound up in the meaning of our existence is the goal or purpose of our lives. What are we meant to head towards? Wealth, pleasure, even family seem too small a goal for the human soul. The African theologian Saint Augustine famously said, "O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, "The chief end or goal of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever." If that's our goal, how do we get there? Well, the destination determines the journey. And so this morning we are going to explore how we can both rest in God and also move toward him. We pick up the story in 2 Corinthians, we've been working through, at the point where Paul has begun a long section explaining what Christian ministry and the Christian life looks like. In our text for today, chapter 3, verse 7 to 18, Paul contrasts the ministry of the Old Covenant with the ministry of the New Covenant. How does this relate to our question of the purpose and path for your life? We'll get there. But to understand what Paul says, we need to step back to our Old Testament reading, Exodus chapter 33 and 34. You might remember that God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt through the prophet Moses with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. God went before his people in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God met with Israel at Mount Sinai, but it was only Moses who went up on the mountain and spoke with God. Incredibly, Moses asked God, "Now show me your glory." And God said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." On Mount Sinai, Moses saw the glory of God. God gave him the law engraved on tablets of stone, and Moses brought it down to the people. From our readings, we discover that as the people traveled around, they had a special tent called the Tent of Meeting, where Moses would go and speak with God. When Moses first came down from Mount Sinai, and when he would come out of the tent, his face was radiant, having met with God. And while his face was shining with the reflected glory of God, he would tell the people God's laws. What's fascinating is that after he had spoken to the people, he would put a veil over his face. Why? Well, the text says the people were afraid to come near him because his face was shining. But that's not the reason for the veil. Rather, it was so they would not see the glory fading from Moses' face. Paul uses this story to contrast the ministry of the Old Covenant, given through Moses, with the New Covenant, brought by Jesus. So, have a look with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. "Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory that lasts?" Why did the Old Covenant, the law engraved on stone, bring death? Well, Paul tells us in verse 9. because it is a ministry that condemns. Paul tells us in Romans and Galatians that the law is good. It shows us right from wrong. It tells us how to live. Lots of people that I speak to think that this is what Christianity is all about, and a set of ethics, a moral code. And if that were all, then the argument that all religions are the same, that they essentially just teach you how to be a good person, well, it'd be true. Even with the common ground between the moral codes of the world's faith, the moral law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, is surely the most sublime. But whatever moral code you hold yourself to, the Ten Commandments, the Four Noble Truths, the Communist Manifesto, whatever it is, Paul says, law condemns. Why? Because law cannot change your heart. Left to ourselves, we despair how far we fall short of it. Or worse still, we become proud at how much better we are at keeping the law than others. Either way, the law condemns. We need hearts of flesh. Paul goes on in verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. What is that hope? It's the forgiveness of sins in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out, and the promise that one day we will see God face to face in glory. That's what Christianity is all about, not an ethical code. And that's the ministry that brings righteousness, to use Paul's words. Paul continues his illustration about the radiant face of Moses. Verse 13, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is the veil taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Again, this is quite a complex metaphor that takes some unpacking, but the text is crucial for understanding how to read the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. The Old Covenant, given to Israel through Moses, was always intended to point towards Christ. Back in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Jesus. Jesus, if you like, is the key without which you cannot understand the Old Testament and the New, for that matter. And it's not just about understanding. The Bible is meant to be lived, not merely understood. But apart from Jesus, a veil remains over your heart when you read it. Only as we see God's love for us in Jesus will our hearts be warmed to respond in love and obedience, and not out of pride or guilt or fear. And that brings us to our final verses. Verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. St. Augustine famously battled with sexual addiction. He wrote, I was bound by the iron of my own choice. By servitude to desire, habit is formed, and habit to which there is no resistance becomes necessity. And by these links, connected to one another like a chain, a harsh bondage held me under restraint. Our hearts are made for God, but we try and fill them with all sorts of created things rather than the Creator. Wealth, pleasure, status, work, even family or our own sense of righteousness. They can come to blind us and bind us. But to turn to Jesus and accept him as Savior and Lord is to receive both sight and freedom. We cannot make those things. They are given by the Spirit of the living God. And so at last we come to how we can find both rest in and movement toward God. In short, it is to gaze upon the face of Jesus. The Greek word translated reflect in these verses literally means to look in a mirror. Moses met with God in the tent of meeting, but the glory faded from his face. So John writes, "The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And Paul says that as we contemplate the Lord's glory, as we gaze on the glory of the Father in the face of Christ, unlike Moses, the glory shining from our faces will not fade, it will only increase. The Holy Spirit will transform us to be more truly human, to be like Jesus. And this is why our mission as a church is to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ. Because that is God's purpose for each one of you, that you would meet with Jesus and gaze upon his glory, and that in doing so, the Holy Spirit would bring you freedom and transform you to shine with all the brilliance of Almighty God. Do you want that? Well, come to Jesus. Gaze upon his face, his beauty, his goodness, his gentleness, his humility, his anger, his power, his righteousness, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his reign, his coming again in glory, his love for you. Amen.